We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh, no. With MyBookie and its cash-out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
This is the ZABEcast, from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go! Thursday, January 30th, 2025. Thank you for downloading. Mr. X comes your way in just a few minutes. I would like to clear the driveway, shovel the driveway of a bunch of emails that have been coming in. I do really appreciate feedback via electronic mail. You can always reach me at zabe@yahoo.com. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. This one from Christopher Nelson. He writes, I know reading is not your strong suit, Zabe, but your five-minute conversation about Ohio State losing $37 million on their athletic department was for fiscal year 2023 to 2024. There were only six home games in that stretch. They fired a coach, and it didn't include a lick of this year's national championship revenue. Listen, Christopher Nelson, and I appreciate you repping for your school. They may have made money this year. I don't know. Or they might have lost less. I don't know. But, you know, if they made $37 million this year, which I think is dubious because running big-time athletics is expensive, they're only back to even Steven for the last 2 years. That's just my larger point right there. Paul Geiser, you were hard on Andy today, he writes. Late in Monday's pod, when Andy brought up the possibility of Snyder doing an interview if the Commies win a Super Bowl, that's him saying Commies, not me, in the next several years, he was not implying that they were a lock or a virtual certainty or a matter of when, not if, or anything along those lines. And yet you responded with exasperation, implying that Andy said that a Super Bowl was in the future or was some kind of a done deal. I don't recall my stance. Was I a bit patronizing? Like, hey, slow down, Chief. You made it to one NFC title game in 33 years. Maybe put the Super Bowl talk away. Of course it's possible. But I almost look at the Commanders like you don't want to be the Jaguars, where they were not only in the AFC title game against the Patriots, but they were up 10 fourth quarter and blew it. Of course, they had Blake Bortles as their quarterback, and I would say Jaden Daniels provides a much brighter future and timeline than Blake Bortles or Doug Marrone as their head coach. Anyway, if anything, Andy passively acknowledged that the team has a non-zero chance of winning in the next few years, but that's it. Why were you touchy about this? Do you feel the Sheehans and others in the DC sports industrial complex, professionals and not idiot callers, are getting ahead of themselves? If so, that's entirely fair, but Andy is far from exhibit A on that. No, I don't think anyone's getting ahead of themselves. I was just playing around with Andy. And it was Rich, he says, earlier when you seem to criticize the Johnny-come-lately Christmas and Easter Commies fans, when you, as a grown man, declared yourself a fan of an NFL team to which you had no meaningful prior connection, the Packers. A, that is not true. I'll explain in a second. Meanwhile, people in D.C. come out of the woodwork to support this team after a quarter century of you-know-what, and you greet this with derision. I'm sympathetic to your loss of passion stemming from the terrible logo, uniforms, and name. I, too, have experienced the same thing. I'm a diehard Redskin fan turned ambivalent slash casual commies fan. Again, he's using that word. But I don't think you have room to talk on this matter. If years ago you said, look, there are very few sports talk radio jobs available in a given market, 980 as a station was going tits up, and I was fortunate to find an opportunity in Milwaukee to keep doing this, and therefore I will root for the Packers, then people would have been sympathetic. Instead, you came up with the nauseating, everyone is allowed one switch speech. It always comes off as disingenuous, like Walter lying to Skyler in Breaking Bad for the 200th time, even though he knows that even she does not believe him at that point. Anyway, thanks, Paul Geiser. Paulie, I thought that dynamic that you explained, that you said people would have been sympathetic, I thought that happened. I thought I said that. That in addition to this being my one switch, there is a connection. You say there's no meaningful prior connection. You forget the 24 years I did on Bob and Brian and was a ride-along sort of route by proxy for the Packers, but they were still not my team. I never said we. I didn't get super angry when they would lose big games, and they lost plenty, and I would not get super overjoyed when they won because I kept them at arm's length. They were not my team. But yes, with the shift in career and the opportunity that I was given, and combined with Snyder taking the franchise straight completely to the depths of hell during the worst of the worst years, the unraveling years at the end where he was squeezed in and then finally forced out, the loss of the name and everything else, I had already been gone for some time. But if I was too hard on Andy, if I was too condescending on Andy, then I apologize for that. I'll be more gentle. Sean Davis says, Zabe, for fuck's sake, now that the Washington football team has had some success, you and Andy can fucking put this Dan Snyder topic to rest. I like Andy and I don't mind the Washington sports talk mixed in, but for fuck's sake, enough already. Can it finally be over? Sean, I'm sorry to disagree with you here, but then again, I'm not sorry. The career arc and the story arc of Dan Snyder, supervillain, franchise killer, cannot and will not ever not be notable when new information comes out. This story, long as it was, had a lot of stuff in it. So of course we're going to talk about it. We weren't just bashing Snyder out of the blue. This was new stuff. So we dug into it. This one from Jason Kroenke, Kroenke, regarding every swinging guy. Zabe, last Friday with the boys, I was surprised to hear you describe Joe Gibbs' use of swinging as a substitute for a cuss word. I always believed that he was using a cleaned up version of the old euphemism, every swinging dick, which we used infrequently when I was in the submarine service before women were on board. For example, we need every swinging dick in the bilge cleaning up that oil spill. I think Jason's right. I think I did botch this. With my understanding of the expression, you can imagine my mortification a few years ago when my then sixth grade son brought home the attached completed assignment where he was supposed to talk about his favorite quote of all time. Guess what he picked to turn into his teacher? I need every swinging guy from Joe Gibbs. We had listened to You're Looking Live on the way to his flag football games. I'd screen it the night before, but you guys were generally clean. And I think we had talked a little bit about what that quote meant in a polite way, because he asked. I said, do you know what that means? And he said, yes. But when asked if he thought his teacher knew what it meant, I got a concerned response from my son saying, I don't know. Thankfully, the teacher must have understood it the way that you do, because no letters came home and he ended up getting an A on it. I need every swinging guy instead of saying every swinging dick. Yes, I've heard that. We need every swinging dick on this task here. Gary Carpenter regarding rigged NFL games. Zabe, it shouldn't surprise anyone that the NFL wants certain teams to win, especially in playoff games. Didn't we witness this during the Patriots Super Bowl run? Tuck rule, anyone? And don't forget the even worse non-call ever in the Rams-Saint playoff game. Yeah, we went through this yesterday with Charge. I don't think the league has a preference, per se, of who exactly is in. Although they kind of do have a preference for the Chiefs. If all else is equal, tie goes to the runner, tie goes to the Chief. Chiefs, a very close first down call, is going to go to the home team, and that happened to be the Chiefs. Alex Kleppel. Zabe, really quick here, but with all your talk this morning about the whole ball spotting, on fourth down, you have completely not touched on the awful spot on the third down play before where Kincaid dove and clearly gets past the first down line, but they spot him short, leading to the fourth down play. Simply unacceptable. Well, you got to understand there. It was close. I looked at the play again. It looks like the elbow of Kincaid is down with the ball short of the first down line by maybe a half a foot. A few 6 inches, half a football, something like that. But I couldn't quite tell in the copy I looked at, was the ball in his left elbow or right elbow, and would that have made a difference as to where he was spotted? I do think it was surprising that more scrutiny was not given. I think there was definite merit in that case for perhaps McDermott to challenge that, but you know me with second half timeouts, I really don't like putting them at risk. But yes, that was also a bad spot. Bill Venny says, talking cars when football is over. Steed, on a recent pod, you were talking about some cars that were up for auction. As a quick FYI, Mecum Auto Auction is actually in South Central Wisconsin, not down in Arizona. The Arizona one is the Barrett-Jackson Autumn. Although maybe I said that. Mecum Auto Auction is another big one. I might have said Barrett-Jackson was in Arizona, which is correct. But he's pointing out there's another one. Okay, so not a correction, but an addendum. The Mecum Auto Auction is actually in South Central Wisconsin, it's in Walworth between Lake Geneva and Janesville. If you're looking for a topic once this football thing is over, I'd bet they'd be up for a chat. And he sends the website, regards, Bill Venny. Charles Weinman says, FYI, you attributed the big game text, or quote, about if this is the biggest game ever, how come they'll play it again next year, to Hollywood Henderson. In fact, that's incorrect. It was Dwayne Thomas who said that. Sorry to be that guy. Go Buckeyes, Chuck in Ohio. Chuck, you are not that guy. I want you to be that guy. I need you to be that guy. Please correct me so I can then correct the record and I can also clear up my own misunderstandings. It'd be nice if, while you're correcting me, people, that you don't pile on or aren't snarky about it or just a plain dick or a swinging dick. But that said, I want you to correct me if I'm wrong, for sure. Steve in Janesville says, overhead camera. Zabe, instead of the camera on wires for overhead shots, why not use a drone? You can use one for each quarter so you don't have to worry about the battery dying during the game. You could, but A, wind, B, operator error, C, noise. The bigger drones that carry the kind of payload needed for the robotic spider cam that can pivot, pan, tilt, all this stuff is very heavy, has a lot of mechanics to it. You could mount that on a drone. It would be a sizable drone. It's more of a risk to fans if it gets out of control. It's not needed. Just put the spider cam super high above the play, straight above the play, looking straight down, as vertically down 90 degrees as possible. And then there's this. David Tratt says, Steed, nice pull with the Dave Matthews Band, Deep Cut. Be well and don't die. Sincerely, David. Yes, that cut I played the other day was a song that I heard used for a special about St. Andrews and about the history of the very famous Lynx over there. So, yes. Speaking of which, Scotland, stay tuned for an important announcement at the end of this pod regarding that very thing. Quick break. When we come back, Mr. X will join us, talk gambling and more. Hiring? With Indeed, your search is over. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Indeed's matching engine leverages over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, constantly learning from your preferences. The more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support our show, saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh no. With MyBookie and its cash-out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets, or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag. So here we are, Mr. X, a football-less weekend with nothing to wager on unless you're a sicko that wants to bet on the Pro Bowl games. The grab-ass, rooty-toot, soft-as-melted-butter flag football being played in Orlando this weekend. I trust that neither you, X1234567PDQ, are going to bet the fucking Pro Bowl flag football game, right?
I would be willing to say I am not. I don't know that it's up, and I don't know, and I'm not going to know.
Once upon a time did you bet the Pro Bowl when it was a real game?
I don't recall ever betting.
You don't recall. You sound like a senator who's currently up in front of Congress. I don't recall. Is that a no, sir, or not? I don't recall. I might have.
I don't think I ever did. But it's, I've been doing this 36, 37 years. It's possible I'm forgetting it, but I don't think I ever have. But I can tell you, I did bet during the Super Bowl, I did bet the Lingerie Bowl.
Oh, there you go.
Remember when they used to do that?
Lingerie Bowl, there was the Bud Bowl, there's the Puppy Bowl.
Bud Bowl was easy, but when they had the ladies playing the Lingerie Bowl at halftime on another network, I remember betting that.
I remember that. And, man, those gals were not only hot, they actually fucking tackled each other.
They did.
Really hard. I was actually impressed with that level. The Lingerie League never survived. It was a thing for a while, but
it is now no longer. I took somebody plus six in that. I can't remember who. Yeah,
plus six.
Because I said there were no dogs in that game.
Yeah. By the way, the betting the Pro Bowl thing is a good time to once again reinforce one of your all-time sayings, because the joke on the Pro Bowl would be, you know what? I like the over, because obviously teams didn't play defense, right? But your axiom of, yeah, the bookmakers have cable too, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not just, yeah, they are. They kind of know what you know. And yeah, there's a whole lot more.
They're not going to be surprised by, oh, shit, this is a high-scoring game. How about that?
Kind of like the NBA All-Star games when those totals got up to, you know, 300 and something points.
Yeah. All right.
So, hey, there's no defense. Yeah, no kidding.
No kidding. So let's rewind to last weekend. Let me start asking you, because you were very much enjoying the Commanders revival and your sons, who had never lived through any competent football in their lives in Washington, D.C., were really into it, you said. How did they take the loss?
Not well.
Really?
Not well at all.
First of all, set the scene. Did you watch with them?
Only X4 was home with me. X3, I invited X2 to bring the boys, his buddies, over because they go hard on these. And they immediately responded with, "We're 4-0 at Will's house, Dad. We're not changing."
So, superstitious, like, just like the old man.
I
you know what I should have done? This is a huge missed opportunity. I should have forced them to come to your house, set up a couple of cameras, and done a Zabecast special. And to just hear the comments, they must have been cussing up a storm. I bet they fucking threw a remote on the non-holding penalty on Saquon Barkley.
Oh, that was a bad one. But no, X3 also, you know, he and his buddies had gone to a pub to watch the last two games. So there was no chance. He was torn on, like, I want to stay home, Dad, but. So they went to their usual lucky spots, and only X4 stayed home with me. And but they came home, or X3 came home, because he still lives here, pretty down, obviously. Yeah, it was a tough one. It was the weirdest game. I'll just say this, because look, you got beat by whatever, 27. You got smoked, and the better team won. But boy, it was a weird game. There was just so many bizarre calls, plays, things that it was a weird thing to watch.
You know, somebody on Twitter had the best line, which was, "Damn, I had palpably unfair act touchdown at plus 150,000.
Yeah.
Never been called before.
Yeah, we were so cheering for that to happen.
Of course.
Like, jump over the line again. Go for it. I want you to award that.
I dare you to.
Box scores. Yeah, what is the box score going to say? Ref, 1 yard run? I mean, what are they going to write on that?
I don't know. So,
and they deserve, because you know what I kept thinking there was, this whole screwed up, tush-push, goofy-ass thing deserved to end the season on everyone going, wait, you can give them a touchdown? Okay, time to look at the rules.
Yeah, I've said with Andy, and I forget who else this week, I said I would change the rule so that the person who gets the snap cannot be pushed from behind. That's all.
Oh, kind of what it used to be.
Well, yeah, but... You know, if you want to run a play where you do a quick handoff to an up back, and then the up back gets pushed from behind,
okay,
I'm fine with that because it gives the defense a chance. It's what the thing is. It's an actual football play. The main critics against this play is that it's a rugby play. It's not a football play.
There's so many things wrong with that play. First and foremost, those refs have no idea when the knee is down or when you're crawling like an army man around the ground. They just run in and guess where the ball is. There is no way to officiate.
There's too much humanity. You're right. There's too much humanity, number one. Number two is the concept of forward momentum is impossible to apply there because it's such a scrum of bodies. Yep. There is false starts galore. Twitches.
500 guys within 3 feet of the ball.
Twitches and jumps and farts. You cannot line the offensive linemen up correctly. I've seen overhead shots of people screaming, "Look at all the Eagles players who are clearly in the neutral zone."
Yep.
So yeah, it's screaming out to be fixed, but.
Yeah.
If they didn't fix it after last year, because it doesn't work as well. Look at what the Bills did, those idiots.
Well, they did their own ridiculous version of it. But the thing I would say on that whole thing is people who are like, oh, you can't take it away just because we're good at it. Well, you know what? Supposedly, I remember what Kelsey said last year. They don't like running it. It's a mission where they're going to get hurt. But the thing that gets me about it is the last – 312 rule changes in the NFL, yeah, I made that number up, were all, quote, to make the game safer. And there was, when I grew up, the rule was you couldn't push or aid a ball carrier, and you say, gee, why not? And they said, well, it's for safety. So that's the only rule that went the other way in the last couple of decades. Everything else is safer, yeah. But for some reason they decided that the whole push is okay. And I wish the touchdown would have driven some change. It's not that you're succeeding at it. It's that it's just wrong. And then on top of the whole thing, and I know you don't like this part, but on top of the whole thing, even replay has no prayer to look in that pile and do anything. It's just a guess.
Yeah. Anything else to add about the Commander Eagle game, which you
said?
Well,
I loved the dude jumping over the pile over and over. I was like, keep doing it. And they call that unsportsmanlike. It's like, oh, don't be sportsmanlike and try to stop this. What are you supposed to do? Just say, hey, you win? I didn't have a problem with them at least being innovative and trying to stop it.
Yeah.
It's not like they were just, if you were like just blasting the center or trying to hurt the quarterback, fine. They weren't. They were trying to stop the play.
Yeah.
I thought.
Well, the problem is if you, no matter how many times you do it, first of all, here's a question. So if the guy jumps the pile ahead of time on second down, is it an automatic first down if it's half the distance?
No, it's half. They move it a quarter of an inch, pretend they moved it.
Repeat,
and I guess if you do it twice, it'll give you a touchdown.
But it's repeat the down. In the regular field of play, an offsides is 5 yards. And if it doesn't result in a first down,
right. You
then repeat the down. You don't get a brand new set of downs. But
right. Since
there's no way to get a first down inside the goal line, inside the 10,
take your shot. Mm-hmm.
Then they have no way to, I don't know how they'd administer it. Anyway.
Well, what's lost in there is the origination of that award, the touchdown, as I recall, was when Belichick learned the loophole in the rules where you would create the penalty and then the clock would restart.
Right.
And he did it at the end of a game once, like, you know, he did that once, like, 4 times.
Burning the clock, and then they changed that.
And just keep burning
that.
The clock.
Yes.
And then they're like, yeah, you know what, that's no good, and if you do it deliberately, we're going to punish you. Well, that's not what was happening, you know.
Yeah.
The only other thing from that game, I'd say this on the end of the year. This is the time of year where everybody watches football and they all have opinions. Hey, that's no foul. Hey, why is that roughing? Because he squished the quarterback, as you call it. You know, and they have all these opinions. And you look at them and go, I hear you. But that's what they've been calling all year. And you know, the pattern, as you call it, is what counts. Nobody's inventing rules on the last week. And usually they're consistent. This year, I felt like the inconsistency of, I'm watching that going, this is not what you've been doing all year. In many cases, first of all, there was the commander who comes out of the pile and clearly had the ball, and then they gave it to somebody else and said down by contact. I'm like, yeah, how's Green Bay feeling about that?
We were not feeling good at all. We're like, that's
because it's
bullshit.
Like, did I miss a memo that they never look at who's down by contact if it's in a pileup? They just say who gets the ball, you win. Until that game. That was, so my point is,
I think that call was right. I think Biotish stole the ball late after the Eagles player had it. So they called that one right, but they called the one against the Packers completely wrong.
Well, I will say this. It's the first time I recall them caring about the pile instead of just, usually the guy comes out of the ball and they wave in your direction and we say, gee, is that right? They never call it that way. So it was inconsistent. Similar to, you know, Kelsey. I mean, not to switch games, but I'm not saying what Kelsey did was a big who cares unsportsmanlike conduct, but you've called it all year when you get in another guy's face and do that. They just were kind of inconsistent all day. And the one thing that also got me on the Skins game was, and granted, it's not about what Brady says, but when Latimer's being Latimer and annoying but when Latimer and A.J. Brown kind of are swapping bitch laps.
Right.
And then Latimer's helmet goes flying, and Brady says, well, I see it's just a bunch of guys fighting it out there and it's all fine. But once the helmet comes off, you have to throw the flag on the guy who lost his helmet.
Yeah.
I think that's backwards, Tom.
Yeah. There was that exchange. Then there was Jalen Carter, who took a full swing at, I forget who it was on the Commanders late in the game, knocked him down. Some say he should have been ejected. It was throwing a punch. Yeah. I don't know. The thing about Brady,
irate that, the guy,
right?
Earlier he did the irate.
Yeah, that I saw bitching about that, and I said
it was an accident, but it still happened.
Yeah, that's
well. He's the guy who had. I thought he had more misdemeanors than penalties in that game.
Well, I went back and I read the account of the horrible crash that killed two of his friends the day after the championship down in Georgia.
Oh yeah.
He's street racing with this young gal who was a recruiting coordinator for Georgia. And she's driving her Ford Explorer 100 miles an hour and fails to navigate a turn, flies off the road, kills her and the guy in the seat next to her, who was one of the Georgia players. Carter was in the other car ahead of them, I guess, leading this street racing. They were ducking in and out of traffic. Absolutely horrific story. And that's why people were saying, I wonder if Jalen Carter ever just stops in the middle of the day and says, damn, I killed two people by being a reckless asshole. Do you know what his punishment for that case came down to?
I'm going to guess it was community service.
Misdemeanor.
Yeah.
$1,000 fine. Reckless driving, community service.
Yeah, I don't know the right answers to that. There's nobody, everybody, you know, it's bad in all directions, but
I don't know.
You got to move on, but it also tells you a little bit about who you are.
That said, he's a phenomenal player. The Eagles said, fuck it, we don't care, we'll take him, and he's turned out great. Yep. Okay, one last thing about Brady on that game. This is Brady, I'm not anti-Brady. I think he has his moments. I don't mind his style. It's a little bit more focused than Romo, which is good. It is less grating than Collinsworth, which is also good. Hmm. But he says some things at times that make you go, huh? What? Like when he was bragging about, I like it when they let him play, when Lattimore was hanging off of Goddard's shoulders in the end zone, ISO'd one-on-one. I'm like, no, Tom. I saw you play in this league for a long fucking time. I know what you do out there. This is exactly what coordinators dream of. We got the matchup. We got our TE ISO'd on a CB. The CB can't hang with the TE. He's too small. So, of course, you have to call it in that situation, right? That's the point of the matchup. You don't just get to say, well, let him play. No.
Yeah, no, that's a lot like the point guard on the block on the 7-footer. He kind of can get away with anything because they go, you're the little guy. We'll let you do that.
No, foul's a foul.
I hear you. It's kind of didn't hurt. But I think I blame, and look, I don't know announcers like you do, but I blame Burkhardt.
Why?
He kind of just throws Brady the ball and then like drinks coffee. Hangs himself.
Well, you're right that less than good play-by-play guys can lead their analysts into bad spots.
Yeah.
And they can set them up with sort of obvious questions that lead to an answer which may or may not be appropriate at the moment. But anyway,
I don't feel like he even leads them anywhere. He just he's like the post-game reporter. Good game out there, huh? And hand them the mic. And then he just rambles.
Yeah. Hey, Tom, how about that play there?
Yeah.
Probably because he knows what his paycheck looks like.
Well, and then it's like, you know what? Hey, they ran another play, which you missed, Burkhardt, because you're still letting him ramble about the last play.
Yeah. See,
there's nothing there.
My biggest frustration is, and if I was a director and I was able to coach up the talent, and I'm sure you probably can't even talk to Brady because he's making $35 million a fucking year to call games. You probably can't even coach him up. You have to be very gentle and only offer the tiniest bit of, constructive criticism once in a while.
Yeah.
But if I could, What I would be saying in Brady's ear in the truck, as soon as we hit about the 5-minute mark in a close game, I would say, okay, I want all down and distance, time left, strategy, big picture. That's all I want. Don't tell me who did this on the TE stunt on the right side and the coverage in this. And don't talk to me about the wide receiver, what he did last year with this. No, no, no. Down and distance, yard line, strategy, time left. Keep hammering that. Think of how are you going to win this game and explain it to the listeners.
That's fair. I just feel like what he's doing is almost like just inexperienced nervousness of, I got to fill space. No, stop talking.
Yes. Yeah, that's another thing. These guys try to fill every ounce of space between every play. I had my boy One Account Road send me a clip of the drive, Elway, against the Browns. The full YouTube clip, Mr. X. And he said just...
Who did the game?
I think it was Kurt Gowdy.
Okay. Wow.
Well, hold on. I'm going to look it up right now because he sent it to me and he said... Specifically, listen to all the glorious silence between calls this drive. And this was one of the most iconic drives in NFL history. And he wasn't wrong. As I listened to it, I was like, yeah, it was very much, hey, you got a TV, you know the score, you're watching, you don't need us to smother you right now. We trust that you're a big boy.
Not radio. Yeah.
Right. Here we go. He says, listen to this. No comment from snap until close to catch. And then simply stated touchdown Steelers. This was a different call. This was on the Steelers Rams Super Bowl. Let's see if you can hear this, Mr. X. Hold on a second.
I'll take Pitt.
It's not being channeled through there. Anyway. So let's get to the Buffalo game, shall we?
Okay. Yeah. Boy, what a that was a tough one to watch too.
What's your biggest takeaway there?
Bet the Chiefs. Even when they suck, they win. I don't know.
By the way, so someone on Twitter today said, for all you out there saying the league is rigged for the Chiefs, just a thought. Have you ever thought of betting on the Chiefs?
But they never covered for
half the year. I know they didn't. And While the quote, the tweet was pithy, you and I understand, as it does every gambler, doesn't work that way. Because even if you are betting money line on the Chiefs because you think the league is rigged and you are, quote, winning every week, you wouldn't be getting the value needed because they weren't covering the spread.
Yeah. Somehow I think we would have come out ahead, but again, can't bet last week's game.
Well, we would have, but my point is, it's not a good strategy to be happy betting money lines that are close money lines. If you're going to bet a money line, you know, it should win by a lot more than the spread, not less. Yeah.
Well, let's see. They went 7-9-1 against the spread this year. You know, that's not anything good.
They
won 15 and
check. Hold on. Check my math on this because you know my math is terrible. Uh-huh. If you're betting a money line and the spread is close, a point, 2 points, the money line is tight. The favorite is probably only minus what, 130?
Let's go 120. 120 maybe. Yeah.
120. Right.
20, 130. Yeah. No more than that.
So
they were 115 last week.
So if you bet a narrow money line to win, you're not going to win as much as if you bet a underdog or a, well, okay, see, now I'm in the weeds already. My point is you don't want a team that's barely covering betting money lines.
Well, if they go 15-2, I would, but
well, okay.
I hear you.
Okay. Fair enough. The value of the money line.
The way around, the time you can't bet the money line is when they're laying 10. Because now, you know, you're laying a boatload.
Well, that's, okay. Here. Hold on. I got it. So I'm laying a money line in the Chiefs because they're minus 10 against the Jaguars. Right. And even if they win and if it's close and they almost lose, I'm laying a lot to win a lot less. That's
you
not
gotta win
good.
It. You got to win it 90% of the time to make money.
Right. That's not good.
That's the way to look at it. Because you're laying 550 in that case. Yeah. So if you are right 4 out of 5 times, you're losing.
Okay. Yesterday, Dean Blandino said he thought that Josh Allen gained the first down, for what it's worth.
Whoopsie
so
shit.
Dean Blandino is on the side of Jim Nance, Tony Romo, Gene Steratore, Dan Orlovsky, Matt Leinart, a bunch of other people. Where did Mr. X come down? Did he get the first down?
Well, first of all, this is how I watch a game. On all those plays, and you probably do this too. We've doing this forever. As soon as I see that play unfold, my eyes, I don't look at Josh Allen. My eyes shift to the linesman running in from the side. And the first thing I see is, because, of course, the marker was dead on, I don't know if it was the 30, 35, whatever. It's dead on the 30. So it's an easy, did you make the line or not make the line? And I see the ref from the top of the screen running in a foot past the 30. And I see the ref on the bottom of the screen running in a foot short of the 30. Now, what happens in that case? In a normal game, if it's your team, you're sitting there thinking, okay, the third guy's in the pile. Which one does he flip the ball to? Okay? If you flip it to one guy, it's a first down. If you flip it to the other guy, it's short. So I'm watching the ref get the ball out of the pile thinking, who's he going to flip it to? Who's he going to flip it to? Because sometimes it's just random. And he flipped it to the guy who was short. And I'm like, ooh, now we have a problem. And then forget all the other stuff and the reboot, all that. And I'm not even sure how they called it. And then they went to commercial and it was a mess. But the point is, it came down to which guy did he flip it to?
Well, here's the thing.
And he flipped it to the one that was short.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Credit Florio. This is going to kill me to say this, but Mike Florio is the only guy that's really digging into this as to what happened, because there is no pool. Okay. There is no pool report, Mr. X, that had Cleet Blakeman explain. Yeah. What
well, it
happened.
Wasn't a big game. It wasn't a big game to have
right,
that.
Exactly. Blandino was on with Florio, and he said that line judge Jeff Seaman yielded his spot to the down judge, Patrick Holt. Okay. Armchair experts claim that Holt was closer to Allen, so it was his spot that automatically controls the call. But that's not how it works, says Florio. Both were in position. Both were watching. Allen's back was facing Holt, so he couldn't have seen where the ball was. So there was every reason to defer to the line judge. That's why he's called the line judge instead of the back judge. But apparently, Seeley surrendered his position to Holt as the two officials made the walk from each sideline to the scrum of players.
This is you might have a team of 8 referees doing a game, but you still have alphas and you have new guys. Now, I don't know those names.
Right.
But there's that, do you dare to go, no, I've got this? Or do you go, yeah, boss, you got this?
Well, right. Really, I don't, I would love to know, as a former long time ago basketball referee in college, and briefly out of college before I realized what a waste of time this is going to be. And I was literally, I became a certified VSHA, Virginia State High School referee. And I started getting assigned 7th grade girls games, because that's where you start. And then I started talking to some of the other refs, and I would go to the annual meeting down there in Falls Church when I was 22 years old, fresh out of the Harvard of the West, thinking, hey, man, someday I could be Ted Valentine out there. And I talked to the other refs, and I went to the meetings and did all the rules seminars and took the quizzes and refereed the 7th grade girls games for, I don't even know what it was, but it was probably $20 a game. Who knows?
Yep.
And then I started asking around, how long you been doing this? How long you been doing this? These are older guys who clearly the passion for doing this had washed out of their faces. And I heard year totals that boggled the mind, as Ken Beatrice would say, 15, 20 years. And I'm like, well, what level are you doing now? And they're like, well, some high school, mostly junior high. Some varsity in high school, they said, but a lot of JV.
Yeah. Well, I
fuck this noise.
Yeah. No, I always said reffing in those things is what you have a young kid do if he thinks he's ready to get married. Go out there and get yelled at all day, and let's see if you're really ready for this.
Yeah. So here's my takeaway from the game going forward for both the Chiefs and the Bills. Because with Mahomes and Allen, they're going to be there for a good spell of time here. Their window is – both of their windows are quite open for a while. 3, 4, 5 years, if you ask me.
Sure.
And both teams took wide receivers with their first-round pick this past year. The Bills famously traded down to let the Chiefs take Xavier Worthy, the speedster out of Texas, who did burn their ass and burn that hapless corner who I think had only played club football in college because he looked completely overmatched. And the Bills took Keon Coleman later.
Right.
Maybe it was the second round. I'd have to check it out. But here's what I would do if I was each team. I believe the Bills and the Chiefs are in an arms race to get a true WR1. I'm talking about a Ja'Marr Chase type. I'm talking about a Justin Jefferson type. That's the arms race right there, because either guy with a true alpha one, like a Chase, like a Jefferson, like a CeeDee Lamb, they become unstoppable. They don't have that guy yet, either one. That's what I would do. I would take an arms race to get a fucking badass wide receiver.
Nothing wrong with that theory, although I have to tell you, it's cliche, but I'm an O-line believer. If I have a franchise QB, if I can protect him, he can throw to you and me, I think. And it's evidence, Your Honor. Enter Saquon Barkley. Did he really get better from last year to this year? Or are you looking at what is it like to run behind the Eagles off some offensive line versus the Giants? He didn't get better at age whatever he is. So, but that makes, obviously, it would be great if he had, if either one of them had that.
Right.
Can't argue with that at all. But I still want him, protect him first, and I think he can throw to anybody. Well, heck, Mahomes has been throwing to nobody. What, we got to win more than two or three in a row? I mean, you know, he can certainly do it with any cast of characters.
Where was Ja'Marr Chase drafted? Care to guess? Fifth overall. I'll answer for you.
Yeah,
fifth overall. So that's very high. That's very high.
Sure.
But it's, if you had to redo it, you know that he is this unstoppable alpha one. He probably would go one or two if you weren't in the market for a quarterback. Jefferson lasted to 22.
Late.
Talk about a fucking whiff.
I recall, and I'm probably wrong, I think he went one pick after Jalen Reagor.
Yeah, I think you might be right about that. And he turned out to be a complete stiff. So, anyway, that's
well, I guess the only other thing, the other thing I would say, Zabe, on the game is it was back to the same thing about trends and how do they call it all year, okay? The other thing I say on that fourth down play, you and I talked about this the last couple of years, when they switched their philosophy to no more measuring and wasting time, and we don't need to bring chains out. I mean, kids aren't old enough to remember. They used to come out 5, 6, 8 times a game, and it was a waste of time. When they made that change, I swear to God, when you watch games all day, everything that's within a ball or two of the line, they just wave them on and say, first down, first down. They almost never call you short unless you're really short.
A lot of people think
so many times where you go, yeah, he didn't get there.
A lot of people think that Kincaid got screwed on third down.
Yes, that too. And also, like, on the Worthy catch, no catch, or whatever, you know, we all know the offense rule gets it on a joint possession. But, my gosh, when you go to replay and you see them coming down and the DB has two hands on the ball, and Worthy has one hand on the ball and one hand on the ground to brace his fall. Then the ball touches ground. And my thought on that was they always talk about, you know, if you have possession, it's okay to let it touch ground as long as the ball doesn't move. But what if it doesn't move because the other guy has both hands on it? How did they then take it back?
I scrubbed that.
That had incomplete written all over.
I scrubbed that slow-mo replay of that catch, not catch, over and over again, and I still can't make sense of it. It's a tangle of arms, a tangle of hands, the ball hitting the ground. It's even more confusing because Worthy in the red jersey is wearing white gloves.
Yep.
While the Buffalo guy in a white jersey was wearing red gloves, which is dumb as shit. So last ad before we go, because it's been 32 minutes of chattering about the referees, and I'm going to get complaints from people. Quick thoughts on the Super Bowl. We'll do it more in depth next week.
Yeah.
Chiefs minus 1.5.
Wow. You know, I did not watch Super Bowl 1 and 2. I wasn't old enough, but I've watched all of them, starting with Namath in 3. I don't think I've ever had less interest. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to figure it out and bet it, of course. I've got to find a way. And I don't know how I don't take the Chiefs. The Eagles, you know, man, they just, I don't know. I don't know that they'll have success versus the Chiefs defense.
Yeah,
and Mahomes is going to find a way to do something. And by the way, the reason the Chiefs won that game, this is cliche, Andy Reid is freaking brilliant.
Very good.
He outcoached the key plays late in that game.
So is Spagnuolo. People are like, how come Spagnuolo has not been given a head job? And I'm like, you forgot he had one with the Rams, and it didn't work out.
Yeah. But the things that Andy Reid will pull out something in the key moment where you go, huh, they hadn't run that before. He just, the pass to Piran to win the game, you're like, really? I forgot Piran was a cheat. You know? Right. Like, he is the best coach. That's all there is to it. And compared to, what's his name? Big Dom's friend.
God.
In Philly. I can't even think of the coach's name all of a sudden for the Eagles.
Oh, Vic Fangio?
No, the Eagles head coach.
It's Nick Sirianni.
Sirianni, sorry. Brilliant. I mean, that to me is a mismatch like crazy, and that's probably where the separation in that game is going to be is him versus Reed. It's Reed all the way.
All right. We'll pick it up next week, plus Propapalooza, and we'll go from there. All right, Mr. X, thank you as always. We'll see you.
All right. Take care.
Let me end on this. Over the years, I have met close to 20, 30, maybe more guys who have become really good inner circle golf friends simply because they said yes to my call out of, hey, I've got a golf trip coming up, or hey, I need a guy here, a guy there. And you guys have responded. Now, it seems crazy at the time. Many people said, you're just going to invite people to your golf trip off of your podcast or your radio show? And I can look back honestly over the last 10 plus, almost 20 years and say, yes, it has worked out great. Guys who play golf and love golf are my friends. Period. Amen. Pretty much end of story, because golf is that unifying thing. It's the power of a golf trip. For a guy that says, because it's, you know, it's a bit of a commitment on their end. Like, am I going to fit in? Is this going to be any good? And when they say, I'm in, I feel like I've known him my whole life. So, with that as the power of golf, I want to announce to everyone I've got a banger of a golf trip lined up for this August to Northern Scotland. And I need two more brave lads to make an even 12. That's an even number, it's not really. But I need two more brave lads to say, you know what, screw it. Life is short. The kids are out of the house. I'm not going to go broke. Let's spend some money and have some fun. We'll be venturing up to Inverness area of Scotland and beyond to well-known, internationally famous layouts like Royal Dornoch and Castle Stewart, where they have had European Tour and PGA Tour events leading up to the Open Championship, but also local legends with funny names like Brora and Panmure and Narn and Moray. This is going to be a wild, authentic Scottish golf trip, and you get me.
on top of all of it, plus a bunch of good guys you'll become friends with from all over the country. It's single accommodations at four-star or better hotels. So if you get, if I get two guys who don't know each other, one from here, one from there, don't sweat it. You're not going to be forced to share a room. And does this guy snore? And is he smelly? And does he leave the bathroom a mess? We all get our own rooms, which is nice. Included in the trip is a private 12-person tour bus we'll be going around on with a driver 24/7. Two meals included, plus some extra surprises thrown in. For price and details, just go ahead and email me directly and say, I'm curious, I'm interested, I might be. You don't have to commit right away, but I'm going to grab the two first best fits for the trip that are ready to go. And don't worry, you only need to put down a portion now as a deposit. You can put the full amount down this summer as the trip gets closer. So hopefully you can become part of a golf trip of a lifetime and get initiated into a full-blown Zabe-led adventure, and to be part of my ever-growing golf family. I can assure you of one thing only. I can't assure you if the weather's going to be great or not. I've had good luck, knock on wood, with previous trips over there. But I know this, you will not be disappointed. It's going to be a great time. So there you go. Just email me, zabe@yahoo.com, for more information. All right, that's a wrap for me today. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks to Mr. X for jumping in the fray as well. As always, please rate and review if you don't mind. It helps with the algorithmic overlords. Have yourself a crackerjack Thursday, and we will see you tomorrow. Me and Solly will figure it out. Scott's on vacation in Spain, of all places, but the subscriber edition will drop on a Friday without football for the first time since late August. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh no. With MyBookie and its cash out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.